The Health Fix podcast teaches you how to take charge of your health naturally by giving you the information you need to elevate your health.
Hello there, health junkies. Welcome to another episode of The Health Fix. I'm your host, Dr. Janine Krause. In today's episode, I'm interviewing Jillian Rutledge. She is a breathing specialist. She's also a transformation coach. But what's cool about her is that she has a background in training dolphins, and she learned how to breathe based on what the dolphins were showing her. Now, before you turn this podcast off and go, okay, Dr. Krause, you've gone nuts, hear me out. Dolphins can take one breath and swim forever. And then they play and take different breaths, if you've ever watched them. And, you know, I started to think about it a little bit after interviewing Jillian and going, it is pretty cool how many of us don't know how to control our breaths. We take short breaths. We don't really pay attention to our breath at all. Now, the other thing about Jillian is that she's a free diver. Now, free divers, of course, have to hold their breath for multiple minutes, for multiple meters. I guess she can hold her breath 5 minutes for 40 meters. That's kind of cool. I cannot do that. But to be able to free dive, you have to be able to control your breath. And so the point here is this whole podcast is all about how to assess your own breath. Not that you have to breathe like dolphins. None of that. But the idea is how to assess your own breath so that you can work in little things throughout the day without having to go into some of these complicated breath sequences like I've talked about before, like the 5-count inhale and the 7-count exhale or the box breathing, things of that nature. Because I have found that over time, some patients are like, I just can't do that. It just is too different for my breathing pattern. So Jillian poses a different way of thinking about breath and getting to know how you breathe so that you can use it as a guide to find out when you're stressed, but also how to de-stress. And here's a cool thing we're going to be talking about, yawning. Don't suppress your yawn. So anyway, there's a little tidbit into today's podcast. All right, folks, but before we jump in, we're going to go to a message from our sponsors.
Hey, health junkies, want to tell you a little bit about one of my sponsors for the podcast, the High Country Lodge in Breckenridge, Colorado. It is a lodge that can host up to 40 people. They have a beautiful deck that has a great view of multiple mountains, and it has a lovely fireplace where you can cozy up after a day of skiing at Breckenridge. It's not right on the mountain, but you know what? You don't have to be. This place is just beautiful on its own. It's a couple minutes from the mountain, couple minutes to town, and you have access to multiple trails. You can mountain bike, you can ski, you can snowshoe from this location. It's great for year-round recreation. I highly recommend checking out the High Country Lodge. So go to ahighcountrylodge.com and book your next retreat, wedding, just getaway, family reunion. It's a great place for multiple things, and I highly recommend it. Go check it out.
Hello there, health junkies. Welcome to another episode of The Health Fix. I'm your host, Dr. Janine Krause, and today I have Jillian Rutledge on. We're going to be talking about breathing and her fascinating story of where she came to specialize in breathing, but not just breathing techniques that you might be like, oh, yawn, I've tried those, I'm over it. No, we're talking about breathing techniques that you can actually incorporate into your daily life that are in sync with your patterns of life, right? So sustainable breathing patterns is what I came up with. And we're going to be diving into that and how you can kind of take a look at how your body responds to your nervous system. And when you stop breathing, when you start breathing, it's very interesting, detailed stuff. So I'm going to let Jillian take over and kind of jump into her expertise. So Jillian, welcome to the Health Fix.
Thank you so much. That was the best. I loved what you just shared because there's all these techniques out there. And the thing is that breathing is real life, everyday stuff. We don't need this fancy schmancy. I mean, of course, there's always a time and a place for every technique and every modality and everything, every self-care technique out there. There's a time and a place for it all. And I love to talk about our everyday breathing, that breath that we take every few seconds, minutes, whatever it is for each person. Because that's the one that makes the deepest, most sustainable, like you said, difference.
Yeah. Yeah. Now let's talk a little bit about how you got into breathing, because you have told this story and I'm like, wow, training dolphins, this is cool. Like every probably most girls' dream job of working with dolphins and things of that nature. So tell us a little bit about your background and how you came to become a breathing specialist.
So I was that little girl that loved animals. You know, I had horses and dogs and cats and lived on an acreage. And so in a rural in Canada, and I didn't really know there was such a thing as an animal trainer. So of course I wanted to be a veterinarian. That was that was the path you take have a job, a career where you do something with animals. And, come to find out that wasn't exactly what I wanted. I actually deeply desired connection and relationship with animals. And at that time, that was not my perspective of veterinary care. It has since changed as to what veterinary care is now. But back then I was like, nope, that's not really what I meant. And so I ended up in animal health technology, becoming a veterinary technologist. And that led me actually in a very synchronistic way to becoming a dolphin trainer. And I worked with four dolphins, and I actually like to say I worked for four dolphins, because it really was, they were training me. And I know that dolphins in human care is a controversial topic. So it's not so much about that. It's more to me in this story anyways, is about that I was willing to learn from them. And one of the biggest things that they taught me was breathing. Conscious breathing. And dolphins, unlike a lot of animals, land-based animals, they're conscious breathers. They have to have a little bit more brain activity going on in order to breathe, because they're underwater and then they have to come up to the surface to take that breath. So a little more brain activity going on, a little more thinking. And that leads to conscious breathing. And although it's not entirely accurate to say that we cannot anesthetize a dolphin, we can't do it in a way that we can with land-based animals, because their breathing centers need to still be able to function so that they can breathe. And this is the premise of conscious breathing, is that we're thinking about our breathing, or that we're aware of our breathing. And one of the most, I just sort of looked up, because it brings up emotion immediately, is that when I was a brand new trainer, one of the sort of peon jobs is that you had to go up and watch the dolphins breathe. And I don't think that the senior staff realized how much of a gift this really was. We would record who breathed and when. And after a while of doing this job, it wasn't exactly that it was super exciting. It was that I just got really curious. Mm-hmm. And I got more and more curious about their breathing, to the point that I was looking at tinier and tinier and more subtle details about their breathing and what was going on and what was their mood and how were they behaving. So much so that at one point, one of the dolphins began to teach me how to breathe. And that sounds like a strange story. Like, how does a dolphin teach you how to breathe? And it does take an openness and a willingness to believe that. But literally, this dolphin, Mavis, would park her head in my lap. And the first time she did it, she breathed on my face. You know, my hair went and it was like, you know, dolphin snot on my face. And you're kind of like, okay, what was that all about? But, you know, I actually looked down her blowhole, which was pretty amazing to be able to see down there. And it just opened my curiosity. And I think that excited her, because then she just kept doing it. And every time she breathed on me, I would mimic her. And when I mimicked her, she would sit back and be like, ah, good job. You know, I felt like I was being trained in these releasing breaths, in these breaths that allowed me actually to be calm and centered and focused and present with her. And the more I did this breathing style, if you will, the more aware I became, the more interconnected with her I became, the more I was able to see and understand her more and more and more and more, the more and more I did this breath. And I just couldn't help but realize that there's a connection between breathing and relaxation, which of course I already knew. We know this, but I hadn't experienced the effect of it in real time in the thing that I desired, which was connection to this beautiful being. Mm-hmm. And that was the beginning of the journey.
Oh my goodness. Now, how many years did you end up working with her?
I was working with Mavis for 8 years and with marine mammals in total for 12.
Wow. That's a long time. So you've got a lot of data in your background there in terms of patterns. Now, what you might've noticed is that they had different patterns since you were taking some of the data. What did you find? So I think my geeky brain's like, well, how many seconds or minutes between breaths did they take? What was happening?
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's a lot of data on that, mm-hmm. but really what was becoming more and more obvious to me was that they were using their breath purposefully. And although that might be something that one can say, okay, well, that's just your opinion. Of course it is my opinion. But after 12 years of watching this, in watching them breathe in specific ways that would then calm them down, help them deal with stress, help them get active, help them sleep. I mean, there was all kinds of patterns like that I saw. And I started to cross that over with the realm of breathing, which in the beginning stages, my go-to is pranayama and yoga, because there was the longest history of information there. Now, the thing was that dolphins weren't doing the same breath patterns or techniques as in pranayama. Of course, like alternate nostril, that's a little difficult for a dolphin to do, but since they don't have an alternate nostril. However, I was seeing a similarity in that breathing affects our state of mind or our state of being. Mm-hmm. And that because the dolphins and I didn't speak the same verbal language, I wanted to find a verbal language that was closely related. And so that's what had led me to start exploring the human realm of breathing. What are we doing in terms of conscious breathing in the human realm? Which, I mean, that's a rabbit hole. It leads you to a lot of different things.
Sure.
But the main path that I just kept sticking to was observing the dolphins and then going with my intuition as to what is that? Mm-hmm. What are they doing? And where can I find that in the human world or something similar? Didn't always find it. Didn't always find something similar. Of course, they're different animals than we are.
Sure, sure.
But there are also a lot of similarities. And I think the most profound part of it wasn't even just the breathing. It was what the breathing did.
Yeah. Yeah. So now before we jumped on, we had talked a little bit about fear. We talked a little bit about stress and we talked a little bit about, you know, obviously breathing is the number one recommendation for stress, but people are like, oh my God, how can I manage to do this 5-count inhale, 7-count exhale? I look goofy. How do I sync it with my circadian rhythms? How do I make this happen? Now, what did you see in the dolphins in terms of fear? How did their breath change? What did they do to change it to kind of get back into sync with themselves?
Yeah. So that's the first breath that I learned from them, which was the releasing breath. And I almost burst out laughing at the intro because you said breathing techniques, yawn, because the funny thing is that one of the most profound breathing techniques is to yawn.
Really?
And it's like, it's this gift that we all have, that we all do, that we don't even really realize the impact that it has on us. And so yawning is essentially what gets categorized as a releasing breath because it releases tension. And animals are the experts in yawning. I mean, just think about any animal and their big yawns that they do. Yeah. And we usually associate a yawn with being tired.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it actually is associated with stress. Hmm. Not necessarily excessive stress. We have stress all the time and it's a good thing. It's what we use. It's what drives us to adapt. But when stress gets a bit overwhelming or too much or excessive, that's when it becomes a problem because we start not being able to manage ourselves. And so our breathing is part of that managing system. But when we get into that overwhelmed state, which is usually what we mean by stress, when we say we're stressed, we're usually in that overwhelmed state. And so starting to breathe, just go into some belly breathing or a square breath or a circular breath or, you know, some kind of breathing pattern. The trouble is you're really contracted when we're in that overwhelmed stress state.
Mm-hmm.
we're in this contraction, and that contraction can feel normal.
Yeah.
Like we can wake up every morning in this sort of tense state, and it doesn't necessarily even have to be physical tension. It can be tension in the mind. It can be tension in our emotions. It could be just tension in our hips, and we're just used to having a sore low back. And so we just carry on, and we don't even really recognize this contraction. It's really hard to breathe fully and freely into our body when there's any kind of contraction going on. So if we've got that contraction or that overwhelmed stress, and then we're trying to get into these breathing patterns, it's like trying to swim upstream. You can do it. It's just hard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think a lot That's of where people fight it.
It's exactly. I mean, we you can get the muscles and you can figure out all the things to do to swim upstream, but you're going to get tired. Mm-hmm. So that's where this releasing breath becomes kind of the key, because what it does is whether we use it as a yawn, and I'll demonstrate a non-yawning releasing breath in a second, is that it releases that contraction, or at least it gets it started. It might not totally free you up, but it gets the pattern changed up enough that you start releasing more quickly, more completely. Yeah. So if we break down a yawn into its components, essentially what you're doing is you're taking in this big inhale and you're creating tension. So you're like, and there's this, you know, you pick your shoulders up. Where do we all hold tension? In the shoulders, you pick it up. Where do we hold tension also? The jaw. We're like opening our jaw, and we're taking this inhale and we hold it.
It's true. For
even a millisecond. And then we go like this. And we release. So if we don't do it in a yawn style, it's just take a deep breath in. Create tension, hold it, exhale, and let go.
So now I have an interesting question. Since yawns are kind of contagious, because I can feel my body wanting a yawn, but it hasn't done it. Maybe I'm trying to pull one out here. I don't know. Here goes.
Yeah. There you go. Make it big. Make it count. Yes.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, they're contagious. So is it that you're sending out, you know, a vibe that would do a yawn to get other people to relax too? And yes. Do animals tend to do that kind of thing together?
Yes.
Cool.
Yes. Yes. Yawns are contagious. One of my favorite things to do, I'm going to give away a little secret. One of my favorite things to do is in the airport, when we could go to the airport more easily. But even now, if you get to an airport or a public place, yawn. And you'll see the whole place just because they'll yawn, they'll yawn, they'll yawn, they'll yawn. And it just sends this domino effect.
That's awesome.
Right. And it's just, it's simple. We all know to yawn, and like the bigger the yawn, the better. And so I always say to my clients, because within the first session, they'll start yawning, and we all think it's rude. So we're like, you know, covering our mouth or. And the thing is I say, no, do it. Yawn, yawn big. Yawn fully, yawn completely, make noise, be dramatic. And that's a one scenario where I will say it's totally cool to fake it till you make it. Cause it's like, you know, just fake it, because it, even if you're faking it, it starts to release all this tension and fear-based tension that we collect in this part of our body based on how our brain processes fear.
Do you think because yawns just like are so open in the jaw too, that's why a lot of humans have like that tension here so much in the jaw and all the TMJ?
Yeah. And in a roundabout way, the jaw has a relationship with the amygdala and the brain, right? And so it's all part and parcel of how we process fear. And when we're living in a state of fight, flight, freeze, I mean, most people don't think procrastination is freeze.
Right.
But it's freeze. Right. And that if you're in resistance, that's fight. You know, we just go through our day in these behaviors thinking they're just natural, normal, but they're actually part of the fight, flight, freeze cascade
cycle.
Yeah.
Huh. Well, I hope some folks are gathering some and putting some dots together right now.
Yeah.
I'm like,
And the dots actually connect even further and further and further the more we get into talking about breathing, because it's our breath that actually controls that whole mechanism and system within us and helps us rise above it. Because one of the things that being in fear does is it causes us to be polarized in our thinking for survival. I mean, this is all survival stuff, and it has a purpose. And when we suppress that purpose, it wreaks havoc in our life too. So when you go out into the world and everybody's saying, you know, don't be in fear, get out of fear, you can't be in fear, don't, you know, yikes. Actually, let's explore it.
Yeah.
But from a calm, relaxed, curious place, because our fear is telling us to be protected from something. And it might be worth looking at what are we feeling we need to protect ourselves from. But as we calm down and we look at fear from that more calm place, there's actually some power in there for us to access. Our personal power actually is kind of trapped within, some of it's trapped within our fear that we're not accessing because it's like scary.
Absolutely.
But when we calm down enough and we get into our breath rhythm, and it really happens quite effectively and efficiently when we find our own personal rhythm. And when we find that personal rhythm, we just feel in alignment. We feel like we're in tune. We feel connected. We feel all those feel good feelings. The hormones start flying. And so then we're in this state of like, yeah. And our breathing is part and parcel of getting into that state, which lends to coming. Earlier, I talked about being in fear and polarized, which brings us into that more whole brain state. When we're in that more whole brain state, we just enter into what a lot of people call thriving instead of that thing called surviving.
Yes. Yes. I think so many people who listen to this podcast are listening because they want to thrive, and like surviving is just not enough. And
yeah.
So, how do we start to move towards that breathing and in sync with our own natural rhythm? What do you do?
Yeah, so
how do you explore that?
Exactly. So I just want to put in one more thing. And that is that surviving, thriving story is to me what the dolphins demonstrate, because they live in a world that looks like they probably should have to survive. And of course there is survival stuff going on. But when we look at dolphins, most people see joy, play, freedom. Mm-hmm. And why do we see that? Because they are living in a much more higher state of thriving. And, you know, there's an abundant world for them. It doesn't mean there isn't survival going on. It doesn't mean everything's all happy, go lucky. Yay, I'm a dolphin, happiness. There's real nature, wildness going on. But there's also this sense of thrive. Mm-hmm. Of course, there are some species of dolphins that aren't thriving, but in general. And so how does one start on this path? Well, I think, of course, I'm going to be biased. I'm a breathing specialist and a coach. So I think that that's a really good way to get your rhythm going, get your path started, because like anything, it's a habit. Mm-hmm. And like any habit we want to change, it's tricky. It's challenging. And when we do it on our own, it's uphill battle. It can be, it doesn't have to be, but it can be. And so a lot of people get on, get off, get on, get off. And that's better than nothing. Oh, and look, you don't need a coach to teach you how to breathe. We all know how to breathe. We all know. I mean, it's intrinsic to us. It's our life force. You don't need a breathing coach. It's something that you would do, you know, if you go online and you do there's so much free work out there as well. The thing about working with someone one-on-one is that we're going to help you find your breath rhythm, the one that's unique to you. And if you look at your fingerprint, that's you. That's unique you right there. And it's the same as your breathing rhythm. It's as unique to you as your fingerprint. And excuse me. And we'll also help you find where is your breathing getting stuck or stagnant because of fear and different belief patterns that are changing your life force, how it flows through you. And that's kind of hard to do with a recorded something or other, with a recorded meditation or a recorded, you know, it's harder to do. But again, truthfully, really what people need to do is find what works for them, mm-hmm. find what helps them breathe. And the key to it is, do you feel relaxed?
Hmm.
Do you feel relaxed? Is this relaxing for me? If you're relaxing and your nervous system is toning, then you're heading in the right direction. And in today's day and world, there's just a lot of information and a lot, like, how do I know? And again, that's why I say, well, go to a breathing specialist to begin, do a session, at least get the ball rolling.
Yeah. No, that makes a lot of sense that you would say, you know, connecting. Cause I think a lot of people are disconnected from their own bodies. I've had previous podcasts where we've talked all about dissociative disorders and different, you know, disconnection disorders and how, you know, for a lot of us, it's like, I don't know. How do I know if I'm not breathing well? I don't know. How do I know if, you know, I'm in the right place right now? You know, how do I know if I needed to insert a yawn right now? It's very interesting in terms of reconnection. Do you find that in the folks that you work with, that many folks, when they stress, they go to a mode of not being able to connect? And then with working with you, they discover how to reconnect,
yes.
I'm guessing.
Most of my clients say to me, I can't do it on my own. It's so much easier when I'm in a session with you. And of course, I find the same thing, even though this is what I do for my work. This is what I do for my passion. Mm-hmm. It's much easier when we're doing it with somebody because it's a distraction. We're really dialed in. You know, there's someone there guiding us, but also there's a synergy that happens when we come together, when we work together with people. And, you know, if we were in communities where we could just gather together every morning and do some breath, that would be amazing. Because, you know, it wouldn't be a coaching situation. It'd just be getting together to breathe in that collective situation and generating the power of being together. I think the real key is awareness and knowing ourselves, mm-hmm. and knowing what feels good and trusting in that. And that's a huge journey in and of itself, discovering that. Mm-hmm. And that's part of the work that I do with clients is the first thing we learn is how to be aware. And we do it through breath awareness, because to just be aware in this big, vast, open space could be overwhelming. But let's just start with one thing, and that's our breathing. We're not going to change our breathing. We're not going to evaluate our breathing. We're not going to judge our breathing here in this situation. We're just going to tune in and witness and be aware of this thing called breathing that the human body does. That in and of itself, if we had the time and the space, if we gave the time and the space to breath awareness, so much would change. So much would transform towards that thriving.
Now, as you say that, I think about a couple of things. In particular, in Chinese medicine, we talk about sighing.
Yeah.
And sighing, I don't know. I want to get your opinion in terms of this. And if dolphins sigh, I don't know. I would like to know that too. Throw that one in there. But sighing seems to be like something that comes out as after someone's been holding their breath for quite some time. Now, would you look at that as a beneficial or a pattern of stress?
Yeah. So it's tricky to explain linearly because it's not really a linear thing, but we all have to start somewhere. So if we do have stress going on, or we do have a pattern of breath holding going on, sighing is the indicator of that, but it's also the releasing breath. The sigh is a releasing breath, and it can indicate that we're releasing stress. So for me, in the way I work with people, I would want to evaluate this first. And see like what's going on. And it's not an evaluation of let me watch you breathe. it's through having conversation and asking my client questions about their life and how they deal with things. And there is a technique that I do that has to do with breath holding, because I am a free diving instructor. So I do teach people how to safely and effectively hold their breath. And so I use breath holding techniques also to see how people are functioning with and without their breath. And that gives me some clues as to how they're dealing with stress in their life, because most of us do some sort of breath hold when we're stressed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I mean, it definitely does make sense. So then now you've got my mind going a little bit towards the sign. Okay, so but let me back up for everyone who's listening. Yes. The sign can be good or bad depending on where you're at in the scheme of the day. But if we're looking at breath holding, and say we're looking at breath holding in terms of someone who's like, could free diving help me to get my breath holding under control in a good way? So meaning, could you train yourself to free dive and breath hold and work on your stress management at the same time? So turn your breath holding from what's considered stress, a stress response, to a beneficial response by doing diving.
Yeah. In a big, big picture, yes. Okay. Like in the grand scheme of things, yes. And again, it depends on the person's unique fear patterns and what's going on for them as to what's happening there. But if I could say just a general answer, it would be yes. And the reason for that is because one of the things that happens to freedivers is because we need to be so aware of our breathing, we become aware of our stress. We become aware of how we're dealing with our stress. We become aware of how we're dealing with our fear, and we learn ways to manage that with our breathing naturally.
So, okay, now I've got another question, because this brings me up to, because I do these things.
Yeah.
If you're a free diver and you're used to holding your breath for a long time, would one of your clues be that you're stressed when you stop being able to hold your breath as long? Like, so you struggle to, when you go out to free dive.
Yeah. And exactly. So when we're training, you know, we're all, as a free diver, and whether you are able to dive every single day or not, we do land-based training. So there's all kinds of techniques that we do to help us manage our breath hold. Most of our oxygen is used by our brain, which means thinking. So if we can't hold our breath for as long, chances are there's some overthinking happening. Again, that's a general way to put it, but it's a good place to start.
Yeah.
It's to be like, what's going on? Of course, all kinds of things could be off in your system for why the breath hold wasn't that long that day. Every day is different, but in general, we can start with, oh yeah, I was thinking about this, or I'm worrying about this, or I just couldn't settle. I had anxiety. You know, you might not even be able to pinpoint exactly what it was, but what happens is through time of practice, you start to become you start to master your awareness. And so it doesn't necessarily happen in the beginning stages, but as you practice, you start to become more and more aware of more subtle and more subtle things. And that's the key. Wow. It's not so much how long or how short you can hold your breath. It's that you start to become more aware of this, of these subtler and subtler details about yourself. And then you're able to have breakthroughs from those subtler and subtler awarenesses of, oh, I didn't realize that I've had this pain in the back of my neck all this time. I wasn't aware of that, because we learn to ignore this stuff. We learn to suppress our emotions. We learn to cope, which is part of that survival. Mm-hmm. When we become more aware of ourselves, we start to realize that we've been coping. How can I then take care of myself here? I need to get rid of this pain because it's actually affecting me from holding my breath, or what have you. There's many, many directions we can go in this, but that's just an example.
No, that's awesome. That's awesome. No, I think it's good for folks to kind of just get a sense of, you know, the different aspects and just the little intricacies of thinking through breath work. I'm almost like going, wow, it would be cool to challenge everyone that listens to this podcast to sit for a day and spend a day just paying attention to their breath from when they get up to when they go to bed, and make little notes.
One of the things I do with clients is, how many of us have these? Mm-hmm. Right? We all have headphones. Mm-hmm. Pop them in your ear. Don't plug it in. With these in your ear, you hear your own self breathing. Mm. And it just, you know, walk around with these in your ear. You can still hear what's going on in life, but it gives you just a little more internal listening. Mm-hmm. When they're not plugged into music or a podcast. And you have this ability to hear your breathing more. And when you hear your breathing more, for some people, it can actually stimulate anxiety.
Yeah.
Because it's like, wow, I didn't realize I was breathing quickly or not deep in my body. So, however, just having them even in for a few moments to realize, wow, I have anxiety, is enough to be like, okay, I'm going to take them out and I'm going to just bring myself into a calmer place. Start with those releasing breaths. The other thing that I do and I recommend to my clients to do is take stickers. I like to take dolphin stickers because I'm nerdy that way, but is stick stickers around the house. And every time you open the cupboard and you see the sticker, you just do a releasing breath.
I love that.
And then that way, you know, you're getting your releasing breaths in.
Making a note right now. So those of you listening, this is going to be on drjkrausnd.com in the podcast notes, stickers all over the house.
Exactly. And it's kind of fun because it brings back the child part of us where we collected stickers and you get to go to the store and pick out the sticker you want. And then, you know, you place them around the house. And the funny thing is that I'll ignore my stickers, but I'm aware I ignored my sticker. And that in and of itself is such a good learning because it's like, oh, I just ignored my own steps that I'm taking to take care of myself.
These are things to be very aware of. And how many times you ignore it too. I think I would add in my journaling for myself and for my clients to know, like, ooh, you know, why are we doing this? So now this leads your breath study into what's deeper.
Yeah.
What's going on here? I love it. Yeah. I love that tie-in. So folks.
And that's the awareness piece. When we become more aware of ourselves, we just naturally start to make the changes that need to be made so that we can live that life that we desire, that thrive.
So huge. Now, Jillian, where can folks find you online and where can they sign up to work out? Well, it's kind of like a workout in a way. I was thinking about the deep diving and I'm like, that sounds so cool. Now you also, and one thing before we tell folks where they can find you too, you also do quite a bit of retreats up in British Columbia. So of course my podcast is here in Washington State. So I do have a lot of Washington State listeners. And whenever we get these borders opened, I think that a lot of folks would love to know where they can find out where you're going to be at, where you might be doing some of these retreats. Of course, I'll be posting over time. If you let me know where and when, we will be letting folks know, because I think this is going to be a big topic for folks.
Yeah, for sure. So everything's kind of revolving and moving all the time, especially right now. But if you go to my website, which is my name, JillianRutledge.com, you can find a lot of the information there. The retreats that I do that I'm involved in is with an amazing company here called You Blossom. Mm-hmm. And they are all about self-care. They're retreats for women. And it's basically, it's just a weekend retreat. So it's not, you know, a week long. It's a weekend retreat and it's an opportunity to really get the ball rolling for your own self-care. Mm-hmm. And so there's all these speakers and facilitators that expose you or give you opportunity to journal, to explore your own core story, to get into a workout. It's really cool. Of course, I'm there. So I'm working with breath. The other retreats that I do actually is more so to take people to be with the ocean and dolphins in the wild. So that's a lot of fun too. And those I post when those happen too. Of course, right now, everything's a little on hold.
Yes. But that will be, if something's coming up, that'll be posted on your website then for the next one. Perfect. And then one-on-one working with you is also through your website as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. So you can email me through the website. You can call me through the website. You can text message me, all of those things. You can get a hold of me. And that's just the best place to find me. The same thing on Facebook. It's JillianRutledge.com.
Okay. Facebook site. Perfect. So everybody, I have wrote all those things down. They're going to be on our podcast notes at drjkrausnd.com. Wow, Jillian, so many ideas going through my head right now. I can't even tell you. I think that we need to maybe come up with a couple other sessions over time to kind of help folks in different aspects of
Yeah.
life. And when you're going to be doing, when we open the world back up again post-COVID, I really would like to talk more about some of your retreats and some of the trips that you can take people on
Yeah.
to hook up with the animals, because I think just getting in the water and being able to connect there is just a huge experience for a lot of people.
A
And
lot.
I
Yeah.
think
It's just,
that.
it's heart opening, mind blowing, puts us in that state of awe. And you know, I think what would be really great, Janine, is if people let you know what do they want to know about breathing. And that might be a good way to
Yes.
create the next podcast about subjects, you know, what could we specifically talk about breathing?
I love it. So, folks, you heard it here. Make a comment, let me know, email me at info@drjkrausnd.com. We want to hear what you're interested in about breathing, and let's get this to be something that we can help you make it sustainable, make it conscious breathing sustainable for you, because I think so many people struggle to be able to just get the rhythm down. And I think this is where we can help you. So, all right, everybody, you have survived another episode of the Health Fix. Thanks for listening or watching.
Guess what? I have a sponsor for my podcast. It's the High Country Lodge in Breckenridge, Colorado. You can find them online at ahighcountrylodge.com. Beautiful place, can fit up to 40 people. And they have a beautiful deck, hot tub, game room in the basement, tons of trails all around. They are a quick couple minute drive over to Breckenridge Ski Resort, couple minutes drive down to downtown. It is a great location. And the owner also offers catering. So you don't have to do anything. This is a really easy vacation to put together. Now, I have personal experience with the High Country Lodge. I love this place. The owners are my friends, and I've been there so many times, I could tell you all about it. So if you want to know, you can message me directly, and I will let you all in on the secrets of the High Country Lodge. And I highly hope that you check it out at ahighcountrylodge.com.
Hey, health junkies, Dr. Janine Krause here. I hope you enjoyed my podcast. Guess what? I have a Facebook group. It's called Anti-Aging Health Tips with Dr. Janine Krause. So if you want a little bit more of the Health Fix podcast, head over to my Facebook group and let's chat. Now, I'm also offering a health transformation and restoration program. It's a one-on-one with me. And it's for folks who are sick and tired of going to doc after doc and health coach after health coach and not seeing the results that they want and deserve. In my program, I'm working with folks with transformation. So this isn't just a light program. This is a big deal. I'm going to change how you think about your health and your life kind of program. And I'm super excited to offer it to folks. And if you are at all interested, we should talk. I'm offering 45 minutes free with me chatting to see if and how I can help you. And you can get all the details over at my website, drjkrausnd.com. All right. You've survived another episode of the Health Fix. I'm your host, Dr. Janine Krause. Have a great day, whatever you're doing.
Subscribe, rate, and share info.